Throughout the month of January, we have been developing the theme each Sunday morning on increasing our passion for God in the new year. And each Sunday morning, we have begun by asking the same five questions for your consideration. And this morning, we're going to close the series, and as we do, I want to ask you one last time to honestly consider these five questions. Question number one, ask yourself, what is the greatest passion in my life? Question number two, what would those who know you best say is the greatest passion of your life? And would their answer be the same as your answer to question number one? Question number three, ask yourself, am I satisfied with where my passion for God stands this morning? That's just yes or no. Question number four, what is it that I would have to change in my life in order for God to be my greatest passion? And question number five, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being cold, 10 being hot, how would you rate your relationship with God this morning? Now, in developing this over the entire month, we've looked at several observations. And I made the decision very early on that all of these observations would involve us looking in different directions of our lives. So the first one is that we looked back. And in our eyes' mind, we stood under the cross, and we looked at that cross and saw its blood and agony, and then said to ourselves, this is all being done for me. In the second lesson, we then looked ahead, and we stood in our mind at the judgment seat of God. What's that gonna be like? In the third lesson, and the third direction, is we looked inside at our hearts, and we re-examined our motives. This is what I'm doing. But now, why am I doing this? The fourth lesson, which was last Sunday morning, is that we looked above and we offered our worship to God. Because our tendency in a corporate worship, where a lot of people are together like this, is to look around instead of looking above and offering the worship to God. Now this morning we close by taking briefly three different looks. Three different looks. Number one, how do we increase our passion for God? We must pull out. We must pull out and rid ourselves of pet sin. We have to pull out, empty ourselves, rid ourselves of pet sin. Now there's two verses we want to look at in connection with this. Let me ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This was written by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul stands as a classic example of what a Christian is supposed to be. Over and over, the Apostle Paul places himself as an example, saying, if you follow me, you're going to be following Christ. And if you will imitate me, you're going to imitate Christ, because I'm emulating Jesus in my life. The Apostle Paul stood as a spiritual mountain to those who were around him, who he influenced and he helped. But I want you to understand that the Apostle Paul had to deal with sin. And he had to deal with temptation in his life just like all the rest of us do. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, there is one verse that the Apostle Paul sets out that tells us how he went about dealing with evil desires and temptations when they came into his heart. Here's how he dealt with that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look at the very last verse, verse 27. But I discipline my body, and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Now look what he says, those first two expressions. He said, I discipline my body. That is, I get my body, I keep my body under control. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about subduing temptation when those evil desires come into his heart. He said, I discipline, or I beat my body. That literally says, I beat myself black and blue. It's figurative language. What the apostle says is that when evil comes to my heart and when I am tempted, I don't just simply give way to it and do it, but he says, I control my body. My body does not control what I do. Then look how he closes it. He says, lest, or if after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Now hear this very carefully. The possibility existed in the life of the Apostle Paul, and the possibility exists in all of our lives, that we can allow sin to come into our hearts and that we can allow sin to disqualify us from our prize of Christianity. But here's what you have to remember. Brethren, God has so made us that we cannot feel enthusiasm about something and feel guilt about that something at the same time. Do you hear what I said? Listen. God has so wired us so that if we sin, there is guilt that comes from that sin. But we cannot feel the guilt of sin and increase our passion for God at the same time. And that's why we have to pull out. We have to pull out of ourselves and we have to rid ourselves of pet sin, because sin and a passion for God can't exist within the same heart, because God didn't make us that way. Now I want to show you something. And when you leave here, you're going to think about this. And you're going to think about this week. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 19, Paul says, do not quench the Spirit. Look at the word Spirit, capital S, so he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Paul says, don't quench the Holy Spirit. What an interesting statement. There is a sense in which we can overpower the Spirit of God in our lives. Now listen to me. The Spirit of God, like God the Father, is deity. That's the nature. And part of being deity means that you're all powerful. But I'm telling you, there is a sense in which we can overpower the Spirit of God in our lives as He tries to work. Now let's go through it slow. Upon our conversion, we were indwelled by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit indwelt us at our conversion. On the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, to those Jews who had heard the first sermon under the Crispin Station and they had believed that sermon, when they cried to Peter, now what do we do? Peter says, change your life, repent, be immersed in water, and you will receive the forgiveness of sin. And in addition to the forgiveness of sin, you will receive a gift. And that gift is the indwelling of God's Spirit into you. In Acts 5 and in verse 32, Luke says that God gives His Spirit to all of those who obey Him. Now listen carefully. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 19, which was read a few moments ago, Paul said that your body, your physical body, is a temple. The reason your physical body is a temple is because your body is what houses the Spirit of God in you as a Christian. Now, the question everybody wants is, well, if the Spirit indwells me, why does it do that? Now, it does it for a number of reasons, but here's the reason I want to set forth this morning, and I'm going to use myself as the example. The Spirit of God is working in my life to make me conform to the image of Christ through the gospel. Now, what does that mean? Here's what that means. That means that in connection with and in conjunction with the Word of God, that the Spirit of God in me working through the Word of God is working to make me become more and more like Christ. However, I can quench what the Spirit's trying to do in my life. I can stop that. Now, here's how. Let's say that you have this pet sin. Now, I keep calling it a pet sin because when we became Christians, we were to die to sin and to leave it alone, but you got this little pet you held on to. Now, this sin may be a sin of thought. You keep having this reoccurring thought. And the reason you have these reoccurring thoughts is because you keep filling your mind with images and words that you shouldn't be filling your mind with as a Christian. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Matthew 5:8. Jesus said in Matthew 5:28 that whosoever looks upon a woman and lusts at her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. That is in your mind. That is in your thought. And some have this pet sin, and your little deal here is these thoughts that you keep having in your mind you shouldn't be having. Amen. There it goes. Okay. But maybe your deal is attitude. You got the wrong attitude towards somebody. You've had the wrong attitude. You've got the wrong attitude. And you aim to keep the wrong attitude. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23, Paul said, "We are renewed by the Spirit of our minds." And so here's what you do. The Spirit of God, which indwelled you at conversion, is working in your life, with the Word of God to make you what you ought to be, to make you what God wants you to be, but you've got this little thing going on, and you won't turn that little thing loose. And so what happens is that you come to church, and the preacher stands up, and when the preacher talks about your little pet sin, instead of you forsaking that sin, you are pushing out what the Word is telling you. You go to Bible class, and the passage they're studying is on your deal, what you're doing, what you're holding on to that you should have turned loose of, and instead of you saying, I need to stop this, you're ignoring what's being said. Now listen to me. When you take the Word of God and push it out, when you take the Word of God and when you ignore it, what are you doing? What you are doing, you are quenching the Spirit that's working in you. You understand what I said? You got this? As the Spirit works in you, but you won't pull out and rid yourself of sin, what you are doing, you are stomping on what the Spirit is trying to get worked out in your life. Now, you don't need me or anybody else to enumerate to you every sin until we get to that little dealy you're on. You know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. Now let's make it simple. You cannot give yourself a pass on a sin and then expect to increase your passion for God because you've quenched the Spirit in you. How do we increase our passion for God? The way that we increase our passion for God is to pull out and to rid yourself of your pet sin. Don't hold on to it. Forsake it. Number two. How do we increase our passion for God? This time, go down on your knees to pray. Go down on your knees to pray. Concerning the actual prayer life of Jesus, Mark chapter 1 and verse 35 said that Jesus got up a long time before the sun came up, and he went out to a secluded or a desolate place to be alone so that he could pray. At least one occasion in Luke chapter 6 and in verse 12, it tells us about the prayer life of Jesus, that Jesus prayed all night one night. Then about his teachings on prayer, in Luke 18 and in verse 1, Jesus told his disciples, you ought to always pray and don't faint at this. Brother James A. Harding. Brother Harding was born in 1848. Brother James Harding was a gospel preacher, and he preached during the early period of the Restoration Movement. And Brother Harding stood up in a very conflicted religious world, and he called people at that time out of Catholicism, and he called people out of denominationalism, and Brother James Harding pleaded with the world that we need to leave all of this and we need to go back to the Word of God. In March of 1922, Brother James Harding died. And when he died, there was something amazing discovered by the undertaker about him. The undertaker said that he was amazed at the deep calluses on the knees of Brother Harding because of all the time he had spent on his knees in prayer. Can you imagine praying so often and so long that it develops deep calluses on your knees? And when we pray, we oftentimes say, well, prayer is talking to God. That's fine. But what about this? Prayer isn't talking to God. Prayer is talking with God. But is God that real in your life? Do you have such a relationship with God? When I come up on a stranger in the street, I talk to that stranger, but when Odell Morgan, when I talk to him, I talk with him. You understand? And God hastened the day. God hastened the day to where we don't just talk to God, but we talk with God. How do we increase our passion for God? We pull out sin and we rid ourselves of it because God has made me so that I can't have guilt and passion at the same time. How do we increase our passion for God? We go down on our knees in prayer. Finally, number three, how do we increase our passion? We go to the Bible. We go to the Bible. Jesus said in Matthew 4 and in verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We need bread to sustain our physical bodies, but brethren, we need the bread of life to sustain our spirits and our souls. In Luke chapter 4, when Jesus went into the synagogue, it says that he stood in the synagogue and he read from the scriptures. When Jesus was face to face with the devil at the beginning of his ministry in the temptations, Jesus knew from memory the scriptures to quote in order to get the devil to resist him. The more you read the Bible, the more your passion for God can increase. Let's tie everything together quickly. How do I increase my passion? I go back and I see that cross. I step forward and I stand at the judgment. I look inside my own heart, not yours, mine, and re-examine my motives. When I come to worship God, it's not about what you're wearing and what you're doing. I'm looking above and I'm offering my worship to God. I increase my passion for God by pulling out these pet sins and ridding myself, realizing I can't give myself a pass on this and think I can be serious with God. I go down on my knees, not just to talk to God, but to talk with God. I want to know him. And I increase my passion for God by going to the Bible. This and our series will end. There are three things that are necessary to start a fire. Number one, you must have fuel. Something that's going to burn. Fuel. Number two, you must have oxygen. If a fire cannot breathe, a fire cannot exist. And number three, there has to be a spark. Something that gets it going. Fuel, oxygen, and a spark. Brethren, those same three things are true in the Christian life. If I'm going to increase my passion for God, listen, if I'm going to start a fire in my spirit and honestly get with what God wants me to get with, I got to have those same three things. The fuel is the Word of God. This will burn you up. This is the fuel. The spark is the decision that you as an individual makes to say, I'm going to increase my passion for God. The spark is the decision you make that says, I'm going to change my life and this is what I'm going to do. In Joshua 24:15, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That decision was the spark that set it on fire. And thirdly, the oxygen is your prayer life. The oxygen that gives it breath is prayer. So here's what you do. 2017 can be just like 2016, 2015,
2014 or 2017 can be different. You can increase your passion for God. But it begins first by you coming face to face with your relationship with God. If you've never obeyed the gospel, make no mistake about this. If you have never been baptized, you are not a Christian. I'm a good person, that may be, but that's not a Christian. And if you are a Christian, if you have obeyed the gospel, but your fire, the fire in your spirit burned out a long time ago, you need to reignite that spark. And you do that by the decision that you are about to make right now. If you need to respond, come as together we stand.